white outside. But if you, Vicki showed me pictures of the Vivian truck stop, and it didn't look bad here. Semis with drifts over the top of them, and digging those out made my digging seem like nothing. Hallelujah. Sometimes things happen, don't they? Things that interrupt our plans. Just this morning, I was rearranging things so my car will come out of the garage easily. My truck started like a champ. I couldn't get it into gear. So I couldn't move it, but it'll happen. Something will make it work so that I can pull it into gear. But everything works. There are interruptions from time to time in our lives. And thanks to God, we can adjust. You know, no matter what, we can adjust. We can draw on His ability, we can draw on His wisdom, and we can adjust. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, as you see on the devotional, "She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And I read that verse yesterday, and when I read it, all I could think of was save them from their sins. Save the people. Save the people. That's what Jesus came for. And it seemed like that was what I was thinking all night, but I know I had to sleep somewhere in the middle, but I was thinking about save the people. And a lot of other things come with that. You know, Jesus was saving people at least 500 years before he was born. He was saving them when he was prophesied. And those who looked forward to the prophecy were looking for him. And we know that after he was born, Simeon said, now I can die in peace because I've seen my salvation. That takes faith, doesn't it? To see that and believe that. It took faith for you to believe. And it takes faith for us to continue to believe. To believe. Not just know about it, but to believe, to put it into practice. I know that. You ever say that? I know that. You ever read the Bible and you're reading something and you've read that? And so since you've read it, you don't need to read it so carefully. It took me a few years, but I figured out if I thought that I could rush through it, I might want to stop and read it. I've even read all the names on occasion that they have. The begats, and also read the names of the people that came back with Ezra. And I've read those, not every time, trust me. I've missed those sometimes. I know their names are important. I'm so glad my name's important to Jesus. That he never speeds over my name. And I want to be so agreeable to him that he takes the time to make me take the time in any and every occasion. Wouldn't it be awful if God just skipped over us and said, oh, that one won't pray anyway. Rather than giving us the impression that maybe it was time to pray. To save the people. People need saving. Don't they? You needed saving, right? And there's people that need saving, and I had to spend some time in the night. I repented because it became very clear to me that some of the things that are talked about on TV, some of the things that you see, you know, when they show us people running into places and breaking open the cases and loading up on all the stuff and just walking out. I don't always pray for them. I describe them instead. That's just stupid. But honestly, I've been stupid. I've been stupid since I got saved. It's really healthy when you not just say, well, that was dumb, no, but I mean, I've been stupid. And hopefully we'll cease, at least in that area, because those people need saving. They really do. And I can pray. I could even care about them. That would take a little more time, but at least I'll pray until I care. Because we can do that. We all know the story. We all know about the angel coming to Mary. We all know about the angel coming to Joseph, you know. I mean, we know that Joseph had a plan, and it wasn't a bad plan. And we can certainly understand why he made that plan. But the angel came and said, don't be afraid to marry her, because the baby she's carrying is by the Holy Spirit. And you'll have that baby and you'll name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. People need to be saved from their sins. There's a lot of people that don't know that they can be saved from their sins. There are a lot of people that have sinned so much that they're not sure that they can be saved from their sins. There are a lot of people who don't care one way or the other. That's because they don't know. Before you were saved, did you think you needed to be saved? I think that the moment that we think that we need to be saved, that's when we get saved. So was there a time in our lives when we had other plans? Joseph had other plans. And they weren't evil plans. They were just other plans. But just as Mary said to the Lord, be it done according to your will, that's what Joseph did too. And so now this week is the week leading into the birth that we celebrate. And so this week, Joseph and Mary are taking a donkey, and I just read somewhere that it was 90 miles to Bethlehem. 90 miles on a donkey with a pregnant wife. I had to drive carefully to Aberdeen for Jordan to be born. Nearly had to stop in a way station for Shiloh to be born. Just stop! I'm going to have this baby. And in my compassion, I said, no, I told you we could do it at home. You're going to go all the way to the hospital. I wasn't prepared to deliver in a vehicle. But if it would have been necessary, we would have been fine. Save the people. Save the people. Who do you know that's people that need to be saved? Who do you know that they just need to see somebody that is saved? Or who don't you know that needs to see people that are saved? Always be prepared to defend the hope that is in you. We've talked about this for years and years, and the idea that if you're going to defend something, then it has to be evident. Right? It would have to be evident. It would have to be seen. And so we have opportunities every day for somebody to see or somebody to hear that we have hope. That we have confidence. That we have found a place, we have found a place in a person that cannot fail. And he doesn't fail. He does not fail. It might look like he is looking away, but he's never looking away. I haven't seen the play yet, but I guess that last week the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs did another one of those plays that just have people going. And it was a no-look pass. A no-look pass is when you're not looking where you pass it to. But apparently he has great peripheral vision, and he does that sometimes. The other day when I came out of the jail, some of the people who run the gates, either they don't necessarily find the button right away, or maybe the computer is lagging, or whatever the case might be, but sometimes it takes a while for them to open the door for me. And then other times I will get to the door, and as I get to the door, the person who's supposed to be opening the door is looking somewhere else, and my door opens. And the other day when I went, I thought that was a no-look pass. I asked the guy, I said, by the way, I said, did you play basketball or something? And he said, why? I said, well, that was a no-look pass. He said, no, I played men's sports, wrestling and football. I said, well, thank you very much. The wrestling coach wanted me to wrestle, but the basketball coach wouldn't let me leave basketball because wrestling just started when I was a junior, it just started. So the wrestling coach used me as a sparring partner for the heavier guys. And that was why I really was glad I was playing basketball. That was a lot of work, that wrestling thing. Use up a lot of energy in 2 minutes. But, you know, it may seem to us sometimes like Jesus is busy elsewhere, but he never is. He knew what he was doing. But I still have to think that as Joseph and Mary were traveling 90 miles on a donkey, that there's a reason that Mary was pondering things in her heart. There was a reason, I think, that there's a possibility, if we could read Joseph's journal, that he was thinking, seriously? Maybe looking for that angel to come and talk to him again. But he had one word, that one word. God speaks to us. He comes to us. And if he doesn't come to interrupt, he will come when we interrupt ourselves and seek him. Wise men still seek him. And so we have so much that we can trust in, so much that we can call on. I still, to this day, after headed toward 40 years, there are still times when I wonder, why did you bother with me, Lord? Why did you... I mean, and in his wisdom that nobody understands, he picked the most unlikely time. Unlikely time. Spending a whole day getting prepared to hear nothing at a Bible study and to be... I was good at faking, probably, being coherent when I was incoherent. I probably didn't fool her much. And I know what it's like because I see people sometimes in the mall or I see... or at the Walmart, that's no mall. See people that I know that... they would like you to think that they're okay, but they're not okay. But that at that time, at that point, that God could interrupt me, straighten me out, sober me up, and change my life when there was no attention being paid by me. It's impossible. For me, it was impossible, and that makes all things possible. He cared enough to do that. He cared. So I should care. I mean, I should really care. I really care. I really care about y'all. I do care about you. But I could improve. I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh, I care about everybody. I don't care about everybody. I don't even think about everybody. God not only cares about everybody, he thinks about everybody. He thinks about everybody. And the next time that you have somebody that you could care less about, remember, Jesus is caring about them more than you could imagine. More than you could imagine. That amazes me. Challenges me. But it also encourages me that that's all he really wants is us to care. Care enough to offer a prayer. I sit and I do. Vicki and I have been watching Dutch Sheets for some time, and there probably is never a time when I'm watching that I don't have a moment where I think, oh, I have many thoughts. Like, must not be my calling. Or, I'm glad that's not my calling. Everybody's got their own calling, you know? But I mean, I like that. I like those help, Lord. I'm good at those prayers. Please, Lord. I'm great at those, but if I try to pray for more than 2 minutes in English, I got to get out of that mode into tongues. Because I listen to myself and I think, how could that do any good? But tongues, that can do good. That can do good. We are so fortunate. We're so fortunate that we can, that we will, to put our trust in the Lord like that. I'm so glad that I wasn't taking a donkey 90 miles the last 3 or 4 days for any reason. If I was going to take a donkey, I know my wife would have never left the house. Go ahead, Roger. You know? God's perfect. He is perfect. And you don't have to read much of the Bible to realize that his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. And you don't really have to spend much time with the Lord to realize that it's okay if his ways are above and his thoughts are above. You know? And you don't have to trust the Lord for long to know that you can trust him. Because he's trustworthy. And the longer that you know him and the longer that you trust him, you become so thankful that you can just trust him. That you really can cast your cares upon God. You really can. And you can get all the comfort that you need out of that from the fact that he does care for you. He does care. He cares right now that my pickup won't move in my garage. Because it's important to me. And I'm glad that he cares, because right now I really don't care. Well, why did you say it then? Well, because he cares. He cares. He cared. He cared enough to send an angel to Joseph to say, this is what's going to happen. Knowing full well, Joseph was a Jew. Joseph knew about sacrifices. Joseph knew about the temple. Joseph knew about annual forgiveness. He knew all about that. And the angel comes and says, your kid is going to save people from their sins. Do you think it might take a moment to get your head around that? Sounds good to me. You know? I think I'll just leave that one with you, God, because I can't quite figure it out. So, you know, he's a baby, but wise men worship him. Angels announce him. But at the time that Joseph and Mary were traveling, there were no angel announcements. Nor were there any wise men. Camels could have made the trip a lot more comfortable, but they didn't have a camel. You know? Things could always, always work a little quicker, or maybe work a little better. They could always, in our mind. But if we stick with it, if we just keep trudging with our donkey, we find out that God knew what he was doing in the first place. Now some things just let them go. You know? My four-wheeler that I wanted to use to blade some things, well, it had a problem with its switch that runs the winch in and out. And because the operator didn't pay close enough attention when he parked the four-wheeler, apparently the switch was left on, so that when I came out and wanted to start it the next morning, it wasn't weak, it was dead. Dead. And then I looked and I said, oh. Well then, it was so dead that the trickle charger wouldn't charge it. Tried to tell me it was a bad battery. Well, I don't buy bad batteries that quickly when I hear and see that they're bad batteries. I remembered, wait a minute, I can start this. And I got it started. And so I decided to take it on a little bit of an errand to do an inspection of what I needed to do to move snow at my uncle's. And I got over there and I tried to move a little bit of stuff with it and tried to get it to work the way it was supposed to, and it quit. And one hand still hurts from trying to get it started, but I just left it sit, and I walked back home and brought my tractor over. Vicky, I brought the tractor, and I brought Vicky. I had Vicky come over for some reason. Anyway, I brought the tractor because I was going to try to load the four-wheeler on the track-it bucket and get it back home, and I couldn't get that done, and so then I tried, that's how I did that. So then I tried starting again. It started, so I got it out of there, got it back home, and praise the Lord, because I got it started, because it ran enough, there was enough battery for the charger to charge. Oh, that was a hallelujah. Then I had Vicky take me back to get my tractor. And every time my tractor got stuck, I could get it unstuck most of the time, but one time I couldn't, so I went and got Vicky to pull me, because it was stuck in nothing, just stuck on the ice in a wrong slope. And now God certainly could have fixed all of that. He didn't need to. He was there with me all the time. We were talking. I just stayed with it on my donkey. You know, God's ways are above our ways. And His thoughts are above our thoughts. Paul knew that when he said, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't worry. Pray. And then if you worry again, pray again. Until you just let it go. Until you move into the victory that's in Jesus. Because we have victory in Jesus. He's our Savior forever. He did seek me, and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He did love me before I knew Him. So now all my love is due Him. My love is due Him. What is it they say? We owe a debt we could never pay. But he doesn't hold that up before you and say, hey, look what I did for you. We just know that. We just understand that. And if we don't understand that, the Bible tells us just go ahead and get understanding. Go and get that understanding. I understand. I understand that I don't understand everything. But I understand that He does. And as we celebrate His birth with our families, before strangers, with our friends, distant from our friends, whatever the case might be, as we celebrate, let's care. Let's care. A couple of weeks ago, I visited with a friend of ours from out in Oregon. Maybe it's a month now. But he was a great encourager of my music in the bars. He came and sent, and he'd drink enough and I'd sound good. But he was, you know, and so we've kept in touch all this time. And I was talking with him, and he's older than I am. He's 75, I think he said. But anyway, he was talking to me, and he was telling me about the fact that they have a coffee club. They meet every Monday morning. And every Monday morning for a lot of years, he takes the devotional, and they discuss the devotional at their coffee club. And somehow or another, in all of those, his buddies say, "Boy, he sure knew you, didn't he?" Now, I don't know what that's about, but I thought, isn't that something that there's a bunch of, and I think there's somewhat crusty old men, maybe, and their Monday morning coffee is over a devotional, learning about the Lord. I don't even know who they are. But I sure care about them now. There's so many people. There's so much that we forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. Forgive them, they don't know what they said. You know, sometimes we can take offense, or we think that people thought out for quite a while the attack that they were going to make on us. Most of the time, not. Sometimes, maybe. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're calling Jesus. You'll call him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sin. Jesus is still saving people from their sin. He's still saving us from our sin. Though we don't practice sin, if we do happen to sin, we have an advocate, Jesus. Because you see, he came and he experienced things. He experienced being a baby. Because Joseph stayed, he experienced having an in-place godly father. And because of that, he stayed in his father's house. Now, we can take that for granted, and we can think, well, he was Jesus and he knew everything always, but the Bible says that he experienced temptation, every one that we did, so that he can pray for us, so that he can intercede for us, so that he can say about the looters, Father, forgive them. I know how tough that temptation is. How could he know how deaf that temptation was? Well, because he was tempted in every way as we are. He was tempted. He was offered the world if he would just worship the devil. Yeah, there's a lot that we don't know. But we do know that he knows. And blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. So what can we do? We can care. We can pray. And we can keep our eyes on Jesus. Always looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. He's more than enough. Amen. We call him Jesus. That's all anybody needs is Jesus. So Lord, thank you. Thank you that whether we travel by donkey, camel, pickup truck, SUV, airplane, we just need to stick with you. And we will see. We shall behold him. What we can't imagine, we can trust. Bless our lives, make our lives a blessing. Bless each of these precious folks here, Lord, as we go into the celebration of the birth of the one who cares and who prays for us and who provides for us. Keep us in remembrance of that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise you, Lord.